Welcome to Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of the Kentucky Wesleyan College Alumni Association. Join us each week as we interview incredible alumni and friends and follow the evolution of their lives.
Hey, everybody. We are back again for another edition of Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of KWC Alumni. I am Doug Hoyt, and I have the privilege of being your host of this podcast. I have a great guest with me today, Dr. Sydney Crowell. Sydney, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm originally from Madisonville, Kentucky, which is about an hour.
The big city.
Yes, that's right. We're about an hour away from Owensboro. And actually came to Kentucky Wesleyan, I graduated in 2014. So about 3.5 years before that, because I graduated early.
Oh.
Yes.
That in today's world, that is unusual.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So I knew I wanted to be somewhat close to home. I know they had a great science program, so that's kind of what started to draw me towards Kentucky Wesleyan.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, they still do. And then, so I was a chemistry degree, graduated in 3.5 years. That's kind of how I ended up in Kentucky Wesleyan. I met some of the best people here at Kentucky Wesleyan, certainly lifelong friends.
So you were here only 3.5 years. Did that give you any time to do anything other than study?
Yes, it did.
So what kept you busy?
Well, other than being in the library studying, that was a lot of it. Just because I was planning on going to some sort of professional, degree afterwards. But I was a KD here at Kentucky Wesleyan.
Kappa Delta, very good.
So that certainly took up the majority of the time outside of the library. So that's where I met a lot of my friends.
Yeah, Greek life can be a lot of fun.
It was.
And a lot of people enjoyed their time in a sorority or fraternity. I was a SIGUP.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Many years before you.
Not too long.
Many decades.
Okay.
Before you. But that's okay. So you were here 3.5 years. So that likely made you a winter graduate.
Yes.
In December.
Mm-hmm.
And you went where?
So before medical school, is that what you meant?
Yeah.
What was your
journey after you left here?
Yes. So I had already been accepted to medical school, so I knew I was headed to University of Louisville that upcoming fall, July
okay.
or August.
Okay, so you had a little time off.
So what I actually did for about 8 or 9 months was I worked at the hospital in Madisonville in their kind of like their environmental services and their construction program, and started out kind of helping with some upcoming projects that they were trying to build and develop in order to improve quality and improvement, patient satisfaction, things like that.
So. Certainly a departure from being a doctor and being a student.
Yes. Yes. So I definitely saw the behind the scenes inner workings of how a hospital functions and, stays up on the day to day business. And then I also oversaw some construction projects, which was not something I'd ever done before.
Do you think that gave you a valuable perspective?
I definitely do. Yes. Because I saw the behind the scenes, like I was saying, the people who work really hard to make sure everything looks pretty, from a hospital perspective, you don't know how hard they work behind closed doors, in order to make sure that things just keep running seamlessly.
Yeah. I mean, people's perception of the medical field, hospitals in particular, are the docs and the nurses, right? But there's a lot
more. Tip of the iceberg. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool that you got a peek behind the curtain, so to speak.
Yeah. That experience was invaluable, and it was hard work. It wasn't easy, So it was a really nice experience to compare kind of where I was coming from to where I was going. And yeah, like I said, to realize it's not as easy as it looks,
So I'm curious, do you think that makes you a better doctor today? Because you had that experience.
I certainly think about those experiences even now. Yeah. One example is I always clean up after myself because I know who cleans up if I don't, it's just funny how little things like that, cleaning up after myself after a delivery or after a C-section, I know who else would be doing it if it wasn't me. And it's I feel like sometimes it's my mess that I make.
Yeah, so. That, no, that's what I'm talking about. It's a peek behind that curtain that changes you, maybe.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you did that for 8 or 9 months.
Yep.
And then you had already acquired a slot at U of L Medical School.
Yes.
Okay. So you go there in the fall of 14?
Yes, correct.
2014?
Maybe it was 15.
15?
Yes, 15.
Yeah.
Something
it's just
like that.
Time, Sydney.
Time is relative.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had originally signed on for an early acceptance to U of L. So then I kind of already knew that was what was coming. And then I started it in Louisville, I would say 2015, that fall, and had a great experience at Louisville. I did actually go back for a short time to Madisonville for some of my clinical training. So it was nice to be back at the same hospital that I had worked behind the scenes for. As a medical student.
Were some of the same people there?
Mm-hmm, they
that
were.
Was kind of interesting,
yeah.
I bet.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So how that takes you how long, the med school part?
Med school was 4 years.
Okay.
And then upon there, I entered the match, and I matched into OBGYN, and I did a four-year program, OBGYN residency in St. Louis.
St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was a 4-year program.
Yep.
Where you learn your specialty.
Correct.
Which you said is OBGYN.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you always knew you wanted to deliver babies.
No, I didn't. Originally, when I was at Kentucky Wesleyan, I thought I wanted to be a pharmacist.
Oh my heavens.
Uh huh. And then I actually worked at the hospital as a pharmacy tech. Back whenever the hospital was down close to downtown before the new hospital was built. And I just realized I didn't interact with a patient and I missed that. I realized from there that I needed to see patients, talk with patients. I just wanted more interaction. So I feel like that's kind of where I pivoted from pharmacy to medicine. And then, I kind of thought I was going to do emergency medicine there for a little bit when I was in medical school, still kept my options open, but then I would be in the ER and always wonder, like, well, how did so-and-so do? Or I wonder how this patient is doing now, you know? So I wanted that continuity of a follow-up with the patient. So that's kind of where I pivoted from emergency to OB.
Yeah, ER is a lot of triage and then mm-hmm. on.
Yeah.
You move them on.
Yeah. It's a hard job. It's.
I hear that.
It's not for the faint of heart. Yeah. So I definitely appreciate the job, but I just knew I wanted more follow-up, more continuity. So
okay. So then you made the decision to be OBGYN,
mm-hmm.
and you did that residency in St. Louis.
Yep.
Okay. And that took you where after that?
To here. So straight from residency, I completed residency in June of 2023. And then had a baby about 6 weeks before that. Moved back, took my boards, and did all that in an 8-week period, and then started here in August, here in Owensboro.
Oh, wow.
So
you are currently at
Summit Medical Specialist, yeah.
Summit Medical mm-hmm. Specialist, okay. And what is Summit Medical Specialist?
Yes. So it is a multi-specialty practice. It's right across the street from the hospital. It's a private practice. There's two OBs, Dr. Rashidian and myself. And then we have an internal medicine physician, Dr. Rashidian, as well. And then we have two nurse practitioners. And we kind of manage all the things. So it's nice.
So it's a private practice?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. But it's multi-specialty.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not
too common.
That
no.
Very often.
No. It's nice because if you have a question, you know, you can always ask someone right down the hall, you know, as far as non-OB or GYN things and vice versa. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have your regular patients.
Yes.
But you also deliver babies now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which to me, would have to be the coolest thing.
It is. It is the best part. Yes. It's definitely the best part.
I know there's complications.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's a new life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the cliche, but it's the highest of highs, you know, but it's the lowest of lows. So it's certainly one extreme or the other, but it's good. It's worth
it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's so cool.
Yeah, it is.
So, do you feel like that? I know OBGYN is your specialty. That's probably where you're going to be for a while. Mm-hmm. But I have talked to doctors who have said they've changed
right
periodically through their career.
Yeah.
So do you have other interests?
Or that's
is this kind of your fit right now?
Right now, this is my fit. Since it's just my first year out, you know, I'm still trying to learn, you know, my rhythm and my groove with my team and things like that. So right now, I'm still excited where I want to be, and it's good so far. We'll see.
Yeah.
There's always places to pivot, you know? Little niches.
I just didn't know if you had something on the horizon that you said, you know, one day I would like to,
do this. Not yet.
Okay.
But we'll get there.
Well, you're still young enough.
Yes.
You can make all kinds of pivots if you want.
Yeah.
So I have to kind of circle back because you talked about something that is something I really enjoy talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's family.
Yes.
Right? So you said you have one child.
Mm-hmm.
Not very old.
No, he's 8 months old.
8 months old.
Yes.
His name?
Is Cash.
Cash?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best. I decided to jam-pack every major life event into like an eight-week period.
Why not?
I mean, might as well fit it in.
I don't understand, right? And, you know,
exactly. Earlier
we were talking about the idea that you might do something else with the college. And I think you're proving that I'm right. You can do it.
I do have that tendency to overcommit. It's a good tendency to have.
Well, it's not a bad one.
No.
It's really
not. It's gotten
me
here, so.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
So you're married?
Mm-hmm. I'm married, yes. Yes, my husband, we've been together, let me see, since 10 years will be our 10-year wedding anniversary this summer. But we've been together long before that, too. So he's been through it through the long haul. He went through medical school, too. He went to residency. You know, he lived all of it through me, supported me through all of it. So
he's a doctor also?
No, but I say that because he lived it all with me, you know, as a spouse.
Well, I thought maybe he was a doctor also.
No.
Yeah, the spouses do live it with you.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
The brunt of it, yeah.
Yeah. So his name?
His name is Micah.
And how did you meet him at Wesleyan or after Wesleyan?
No,
or?
I met him when I was 10 or 11 years old. So we kind of grew up together. Yeah.
Were you childhood sweethearts?
No.
Or you just knew him?
We were friends. We were good friends. And then we got together when I was a senior in high school. And we've been together ever since. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
That's not very common anymore. But
it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
But it stuck.
it's still sticking, right?
That's right. Yeah. It's good.
So, what's that profession?
Yeah. So he was originally in the military, was in the Marine Corps.
Well, thank you for his service.
Thank you. Yeah. And then whenever I started med school is whenever he came back, finished his time, and then went to U of L undergrad while I was in U of L med school. Got his degree, and then he became an insurance agent, a carpenter, and now he's our Mr. Mom. He keeps our house together now. So, yes.
Big job.
Oh, huge job. Way bigger than mine. I wouldn't be able to do it without him.
Big job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, very cool.
Yeah.
And so you've been married 10 years, you said?
In June. Mm-hmm.
In June.
Yeah.
Well, happy 10 years.
Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And Cash is in for a crazy ride.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He is.
A future Panther, I hope.
That would be cool. That would be great.
Right?
Yeah.
Your legacy.
That's right.
Here.
I like how close he'd be.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how he feels about it already.
Yeah. I know. That's the mom.
Yes.
I get it.
Exactly.
That's the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kinds of things keep you guys busy? I know that med school and professional life is definitely something that keeps you occupied.
Yes.
Outside of that, what do you like to do?
Yes. It's funny because I haven't really had time for a hobby in the 12 years of school and training. So I'm trying to figure that out now that I actually have time.
Who you are.
Yeah, exactly. But throughout all that, I did run. So I like to run half marathons. I did that starting in medical school. And then didn't really have time for it in residency because you work more than hours than you're allowed to say.
Wait, it's 40 hours a week, right?
That's
on the
funny.
Timesheet.
No, we're supposed to be capped at 80. 80 is 40 sounds very trivial. That's funny. But and I also like to read. And then when I first started residency, just as a way to kind of recover from the day, I got a Peloton, which truthfully has been amazing. So if I had to think of hobbies that I do outside of work and taking care of my family, then it'd probably be those three things. And reading. I don't know if I said that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you still run?
I do. Working on it postpartum. It's a struggle. Not like it used to be, but I'm getting there. I literally made plans today with a friend from Kentucky Wesleyan to sign up for a half this year. So we'll make it happen.
So I work at Wendell Foster.
Yeah.
And we have a half marathon.
Oh, you do?
We do. So I'm happy to tell you all about it. And
tell
invite
me how
you
soon
to,
is it? I mean, time to mentally and physically.
And we also have a 5K in conjunction with it. So if you're not worked up to the half yet.
Yes.
So we will talk.
Okay. Sounds good.
We will talk. Yeah. I'm not a runner, but a lot of people are that I know, and they just enjoy it.
Yeah,
so
it's
much.
A mind game. I used to swear I was not a runner. There's no way I could be a runner. And then in med school, I just thought, why can't I, you know? And then I just started. And I was, you know, didn't start out doing that always, but it's fun. If you train for it and it's not painful, but you got to put in the time and the hours, you know, but it's worth it. It's
fun. People talk about the endorphins.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if that's real or not.
I think it is. I mean, it's a huge, I think that there's something there to it, for sure.
So being a doctor, I have to trust your opinion, right?
I think endorphins
are real.
That is, that's my medical opinion.
That's my free medical advice for
there
the day.
Is.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I'll send you my bill.
No, I said free, Sydney.
Oh, I missed that piece. I'm sorry.
See, okay, we have to work on listening as well.
You're right.
No,
sorry.
I'm just kidding. Oh, geez. So, reading. What do you like to read?
I honestly, depending on kind of what I'm feeling, I'll read anything from nonfiction to fiction, sometimes romance. Let me think. I like the Harry Potter, Hunger Games, that kind of thing. There's a newer book that my friend has gotten me hooked on, Fourth Wing and Iron Flame. And I got a Kindle for Christmas because I thought I don't have time to hold a book. I really want a physical book, but I thought the only way as a mom right now that I'm going to be able to read is if I have my hands free and can just touch on the Kindle.
So not a books on tape kind of person.
I do that sometimes too. Yeah, but I'm more so am using the Kindle, which I swore I would never do because I like a hard copy. But
yeah.
I've already read two books since Christmas, so I'm definitely reading more with the Kindle. That I can't question. So
far more convenient.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So now I can, you know, hold the baby and read the Kindle at the same time.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a couple of books. Do you also watch those movies?
Yes. Harry Potter for sure.
Yeah.
That's when I rewatch it every fall. Yeah.
Wait, every
All
fall?
Of them. Every fall.
Why?
We both just love the movies.
What's special about the fall, though?
Well, like fall, Christmas. It's, I don't know. A lot of the scenes are shot in the cooler months. So it's like a cozy snuggle up on the couch. I don't know.
We watch more movies and TV in the wintertime just because it's so cold outside and we don't want to go out.
Well, that too. Yeah. That too.
Yeah. But warmer under a blanket than it is.
Yes. Fireplace. Yep.
Yeah. So. Well, that's so cool. What kinds of things keep Micah busy?
Oh, gosh. He has more hobbies than you can imagine.
Well, I mean, other than Mr. Mom
other
duties.
Other than Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
He hunts. Yeah. He likes to play golf. We've played pickleball a few times, actually. My dad is the pickleball coach at Owensboro Country Club. So he's gotten us out there playing. And that's actually really fun. I guess that couldn't be a hobby that I've tried.
Sure. That's all the craze.
It is. It is all the craze. And I kind of thought it was silly, and then I tried it, and I was like, well, crap, I actually like this. This is actually fun.
So I've never played it. Tell me, in your opinion, what's it like?
I would feel like it's a combination, like if you merge tennis and table tennis or ping pong. But I feel like because it's a smaller court, it kind of levels the playing field, so to speak. So my husband and I, we've played tennis before, and he joked that he could beat me. And I was like, you can't beat me. I clearly will beat you because I'm entirely competitive. And he did beat me. So that was the plot twist. He did beat me in tennis. But I feel like in pickleball, it just levels the playing field because you can't always just like smack the ball as hard as possible. So I feel like from that perspective, you have to be really quick in order to like hit the ball quickly if it's coming back to you. So I don't know. It's different. It's different.
So what's the best skill to have with pickleball?
I think probably speed. I think that's also where the injuries come from. I don't know. Because you're moving so quickly.
Okay.
Because they say there's a higher injury sport than other things.
Oh, I don't need that.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played it long enough to injure myself, so I don't
Fair
pretend
enough.
Like I have.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. So, the whole field of OBGYN is fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I think babies are miracles, and it's so fascinating. What are some of the more significant things that you have to deal with in that as a doctor in that field?
That is positive or negative or either.
Either. Yeah.
I feel like some of the most memorable and treasured memories that I have so far as an OB is whenever, say, a labor and delivery nurse or a really close friend trusts me with their delivery. There's nothing like, delivering that baby and bringing that sweet baby to the mom's arms, knowing like how hard they worked to get there. Just knowing the behind the scenes, the story. One special memory is when I was in residency. We have co-residents who are in our same class. We graduate together. We go through the worst of it with each other, and we delivered each other's babies.
A
year and a year apart. Yes. We both had boys. So to be able for me to deliver her baby, and then, almost 2 years later, year and a half later, she was able to deliver my baby. Those are the things that you'd never forget. So those things are really special. I'm trying to think. The hard things, the hardest days are obviously when outcomes don't go the way that they should.
You know,
in a perfect world, every pregnancy ends up in a live term birth with a happy family, a healthy mom, and a live baby. And that's just not always the case. So those are hard whenever someone that has worked for really hard to get to that place and a fetal demise or a poor pregnancy outcome, those are hard. And it's hard to always wonder why did
that's what
like
you always
happen?
Wonder about anything.
Yeah.
Is why me?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And, those are the days you're like, oh my gosh, why would I put myself through this torture? But, it's still worth it. It's still in the end, those vulnerable moments are where you make those connections with patients and they're thankful for the care that you can provide and that you did provide. And then to see them through those dark seasons, and to see the light that comes after that, see the pregnancies that come after that. It doesn't take away the pain, but it certainly, you grow, connections with those patients. And so those are probably some of the memorable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being willing to do that.
And, yeah.
And I say that because you have to be the one to tolerate both ends of that spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very admirable.
Well, thank you.
That you would be willing to do
that. Yeah. I mean, it's an honor. I mean, I say that and I don't mean it in any other way, but especially now that I've walked through the journey of pregnancy and motherhood, I recognize how special it is for you to trust someone with their pregnancy and with their child, you know. It's a big deal. So it's certainly an honor that I still get, you know, that I get to do it every day.
Yeah, and I don't have any experience, right? But it's a very fragile time as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just for the mother and their body and the baby, but emotionally.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a lot to process.
Because everything is changing and
right. Family dynamics are
weird,
changing.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it is. It's a huge whirlwind, you know.
Well, I would think you're more than a doctor. You know, you're a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be, right? Because you said you developed that relationship.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah. And I always joke that I'm a better doctor now that I've done it myself. You know, I feel like before, nausea, vomiting, I certainly had sympathy for. But when you live it, man, you're like, it's a whole nother beast. And I do feel like I know things that work that I didn't know really worked or didn't work before I was pregnant. I knew what the recommendations to do and to say are, but now to be like, don't even try that. That's not going to work. let's just try this. You know, I certainly have a much better understanding of how to counsel patients and what they're experiencing. So,
well, Sydney, it doesn't sound like it's unlike the experience that you had at the Madisonville Hospital for 8 or 9 months when you got that peek behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that experience makes you a better doctor. Your personal experience having a child makes you a better doctor.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, so I think you're wise to draw upon those experiences that you have and
yeah.
recognize
mm-hmm.
that they make you better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got to ask the question. I've been sitting here wondering. So you made it through Kentucky Wesleyan in 3.5 years. Did you make it through medical school quickly also?
It sure didn't feel quick. It felt really long and drawn out.
No, I bet it did.
No, 4 years is the standard amount of time. You can't really rush that process, thankfully or unthankfully, whichever way you think about it.
But, a very defined program.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. For the most part, there's certainly small niche programs you could potentially expedite the process. I know that there's one for family medicine specifically, but knowing that I wanted to do OB, the 4 years is what I got, and I'm thankful for it. You know, I met lifelong friends there as well that I still keep in touch with. So,
oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. So Owensboro is your home now?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Then we're glad you're here.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And we do want you to become engaged in Kentucky Wesleyan
yes.
as much as you feel is appropriate.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, just give me the opportunity.
Okay.
We'll get you involved.
Okay.
So we are nearing the end. But I always like to ask a question. Now, this may not be one, I don't know. I'm going to ask it,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to answer. But given your profession, you may tell me you don't have a lot of experience there. So I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you why I'm asking and give you a chance to think about it.
Okay.
Tell me about a favorite vacation. Now, here's why I ask.
Mm-hmm.
You can see why I said you may not have experience. You may not have had
you're
opportunity.
Right. I see the lack of
you know,
experience.
80 hours a day
yes.
or a week.
Yes.
80 hours a week, you may not have had much opportunity for vacation. But my wife, Brenda, and I are rapidly approaching the age where we are going to be retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've decided to take the opportunity to use this podcast
oh, okay.
to steal some travel ideas from my guests.
Yes.
Because we love to travel.
Yes.
Both domestically and internationally, we just love to travel. So we've had some really good
okay.
ideas.
I can think of...
And it may be younger, you know, a vacation when you were younger.
I think I have one in between that 8-month period when I wasn't... in training. My husband and I went to Europe to visit his brother and his brother's wife, and we went to Italy, we went to Slovenia, and we went to Croatia.
Oh, wow.
Those were, we went for, I think, about 10 to 12 days. And it was really nice because they were stationed there. They're in the Army. So we were able to see, you know, they'd lived there not permanently, but they lived there for the short time that they were stationed there. And so we were able to see very much a non-touristy perspective of Italy and of the other, you know, the two other countries that we went to. So they took us to olive oil farms, or, you know, I can't even remember the right phrase, little hole in the wall wineries that you would never see if you looked them up on a tourist site. And they were just the most, authentic. I don't know. They were just fantastic. We went to Croatia and we did, what is it called? You like slide down these, this, I'm trying to think, not like a quarry, but you slide down, you hike all the way up and then you slide in like wetsuits. I'm having a total blank on what it's called. It's freezing cold water, but it is very much so much fun. And that was in Slovenia. I'll think of it as soon as we get done. We went to Croatia.
Well, I have to know. So when you do, okay, just let me know.
Okay, I'll let you know. But that was just, that was a wonderful experience. And I always joke, or my husband always jokes, I never drank red wine before I went to Italy. And then I always say that I came back a better person because now I drink red
wine. You drink dry,
so, yes,
warm, yes, red wine.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which my husband tells me tastes the exact same here as there. But I don't know. I needed to go and live it to believe it. So,
okay.
So there you go.
Well, I believe you. Okay. I'm still not a fan of dry.
I understand.
Warm.
Maybe if you go to Italy and you'll come back a better person too.
Yeah. Okay. No, that I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really cool. Being able to see some of the as you say, the more authentic,
yeah,
where the locals go.
Yes.
That's the experience that we're looking for. The touristy things are nice.
Yes.
You know,
for sure.
You want to see them. They're touristy and popular for a reason.
Right.
But it's kind of neat to when you have the opportunity, mm-hmm, to kind of, you know, go in the back door and look at things. And
kind of a hole in the wall. Not,
yes.
You know, I hate to use that phrase.
Where the locals go.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. What the locals do. I bet the food was amazing.
I thought it was amazing. I did. My husband did not love the food, but I thought it was great food. So it's funny who you ask. I don't know. About European food. Maybe. I don't know. I thought it was great.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
I think there's just not as much seasoning. I don't know if that's really, I don't know. There's not as much seasoning, maybe. Hmm. A lot of olive oil, which I loved, you know, but it was great.
Well, very cool. Thank you for that idea.
You're
welcome. I always tell my guests, be careful. Mm-hmm. I may be asking you for specific travel ideas.
That's fine.
You know, once you give me that idea, I may need some details.
You need some backup information.
A little help with the travel agent,
yes,
part of you.
That's good.
So just be careful.
Okay. You just let me know. I'll see what I can do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sydney, thank you for spending a little time with me today. I've really thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you a little better.
Thank you.
I know the audience is going to really appreciate getting to know you and, you know, who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I
appreciate
it.
So thank
it.
You for giving us some time.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'd like to give my guest a final word.
Oh, goodness. From me?
Absolutely.
Let me see.
You are the star of this show.
I guess reach out if you have any questions. Biggest thing is just stay true to you, who you are. And, you know, even when life is hard, just remember where you came from and what you're here to do. It's never goes unnoticed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of this episode. So until next time, be well.
This has been another episode of Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of the KWC Alumni Association, hosted by Doug Hoyt, class of 1984. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to follow the Alumni Association on social media at KWC Alumni. See you next time, Panthers.